we present Fella by John Nevinson, read by Jim Newbury.
It was our last evening in Spain. Tomorrow morning, the taxi would come early to the apartment block, and we would zoom along the motorway to the airport at Malaga. Within 3 hours, we'd be landing in drizzly Newcastle, the pilot gleefully telling us the lower Tyneside temperature. But for now, however brief the time, we were still on holiday. The sky was a cloudless blue, and the heat of the day was taken away by a refreshing breeze wafting in from the Mediterranean. I glanced at me brother Mike, and wondered how he would cope once this relaxing interlude ended. Kathy had died 7 months ago, and he was returning to the sale of their Gateshead house as he downsized to a new apartment near the Sage. Mike seemed to have recovered from Kathy's death almost too quickly and neatly, as if he desperately wanted to make us all feel relieved that he was getting on successfully with his new life. We sauntered along the palm-lined promenade, listening to the babble of accents. A few arm-in-arm girlfriends gave us appreciative looks and dipped their eyes in mock coyness. The flirtation was wasted, as Mike was such a fresh widower and, as usual, I was definitely more interested in the passing guys. Once again, we had decided to eat at La Cucina, a busy little restaurant near the harbour. We were a little early, so we sauntered past the craft moored in the marina. When we weren't estimating prices, we were pondering how anybody with a legal job could afford such beautiful little ships. Funny how many pot-bellied ugly old guys have such lovely female company, I mused. Well, apart from money, what else could possibly attract them? Laughed Mike. They're obviously their daughters, I smiled. As we moved past the sleek hulls, I realised we had a companion. The dog was that kind of feral creature which hangs around seedy back streets. It had an almost hyena look, with its dirty matted brindled coat, long back legs, and a mouth full of large yellowing teeth. It looked at us, frankly, as if it had selected us to be its next victim. I've never been easy with strange dogs, ever since a vicious little Jack Russell took a bite out of my calf when I was a 6-year-old holidaying at sea houses. So I was keen to move away from the mutt. But Mike stupidly said, "Hello, fella." And after that, we couldn't shake him off. After 10 minutes, we reached La Cucina, and fella sauntered along behind us as if we had him on an invisible lead. By now, even Mike was tired with fella's attention, and as we went onto the open veranda of the restaurant, he shouted, "Go on, get out of it!" He stamped his foot. The dog barely flinched and stood looking at us in a disturbingly calculated way. Somehow, I felt that fella was in charge of the proceedings, not Mike and me. "Did we book a table, Chris?" Mike asked me. "We did, when we were here on Wednesday," I reminded him, just as Ricardo, the most handsome waiter in the place, arrived to attend to us. He ushered us to a table for two, with a crisp white cloth, gleaming cutlery and sparkling wine glasses. Darkness was going to fall soon and quickly, so Ricardo lit the red candles before handing us the menu. As he turned to walk away, the waiter almost lost his balance as he tripped over fella, who had squatted down by the next table. "Get out of here!" he shouted with as much success as Mike earlier. The dog fixed him with a self-confident and self-possessed gaze, and then stared at the pair of us. The disconcerting look seemed to dismiss Ricardo and claim ownership of us. "Bugger off!" hissed Mike. "He's your dog?" asked Ricardo incredulously. "No, he followed us here from the marina," I said. "You should not bring him," Ricardo stated authoritatively. "We didn't bring him," said Mike testily. "He just followed us in here." By now, other customers were observing the situation with a mixture of interest and pleasure that the dog hadn't adopted them. The dog looked rougher, wilder, and more intimidating in the civilised milieu of tables, cutlery and food than it had down by the harbour. Mike stamped his foot again, with no result other than a more baleful look from the dog, which had unpleasant yellow almost feline eyes. There was a sudden rush of feet, and Ricardo powerfully kicked Fella on its rump. The animal yelped, collided with a table. A woman sitting there screamed, and the dog snarled at the waiter, lips drawn back, teeth bared. Until now, I was merely irritated. But now I was starting to feel quite scared. A feral dog. Bites. Rabies. Ricardo offered another kick, and the dog leapt into the air and snapped at his leg. All the diners were on their feet now, and it was silent apart from the rumbling, guttural growl of the dog and a very far back British voice saying, "Quite disgusting to treat a dog like that. Disgusting." Suddenly, there was a flash of silver as Ricardo's fellow worker, Thomas, threw a tray of cutlery at the intruder. One of the knives cut the dog's back, and in pain, it ran past the tables and off the veranda. A collective cheer from the diners began, but was cut short by the sound of a soft thump and a squeal of brakes. An unearthly cross between a scream and a howl preceded the silence, only broken a minute later by the county voice saying, "Disgusting! Quite disgusting!" The diners shakily returned to the tables. Mike could see that Thomas had dragged a bloody mess of fur to the roadside and thrown an old cloth over it. Our appetites wrecked, we shuffled out of La Cucina, and the accusing eyes of the patrons made us feel guilty, as if the dog's death was entirely our fault. It was dark by the time Mike and I got back to the hotel for desultory packing and a fitful night's sleep before that early taxi to Malaga. The flight north was bumpy, seatbelts on all the way. Mike and I shared a taxi to Central Station, then he boarded a metro to Gateshead, and I took one home for Tynemouth. I slept badly for the second night running, thinking that tomorrow they'd all joke at work, "You look rough, you could do with a holiday." I staggered to the bathroom, then stumbled over the bedroom to open the curtains. I knew the grey North Sea would look nothing like the sparkling azure Mediterranean. I opened the curtains, focus on the sea. Motionless on the pavement, a hyena-like dog stands and gives a yellow-toothed grin at me.